So tonight I kind of want to just talk from my heart, which I don't do all the time. I typically will add that into a message here and there, but I try to just preach just from the word and what God, you know, reveals to me. And tonight I'm definitely going to utilize the word. But when you're a pastor, if you really have the heart of a shepherd, and even this isn't just the title of a pastor, but some of the leaders in the room that are like, man, they're here. You can feel things, right? It's like your parents, but we're not like your parents. But, you know, sometimes you haven't even said anything to your parents, but they just know something's up, you know? And we can take it to another level that's more even personal with you and your friends. You ever hang out with a friend and you're like, bro, something's up. Didn't say anything, you know, but you just feel like something's up because you know each other. And that's the beauty of family here at Passion, is I think we have a pretty incredible relationship with one another. If you're newer, we invite you into the family and to journey with us a little bit more. But I was telling, I believe it was either Desiree or Amanda, they're kind of blended in my mind at this point. But was that you, Amanda, before service? It was you. Okay, so that was just ramble. But you know, I feel like for especially the past year or so, I have had more moments than normal where on a Wednesday night we go to come together and have a word. And I feel like God just kind of scratches that, you know, the game plan. And you've definitely been a part of some of those. Most of you have been a part of those nights where I say, you know, I just want you to find God for yourself. We've had you separate in the room, you know, and you're like pray by yourself. No leaders are praying for you. Maybe we don't have a tribe that night where we usually do powwows and discussions. And I feel just as a pastor and journeying with Passion that a lot of that is because I know for a lot of us in the room, I'll just throw myself in the mix so you don't feel like I'm talking at you. I'm talking about all of us as a whole, that our own quiet time with the Lord probably sucks. Can we just be real? Right? Okay, and I've met with a lot of our leaders, not to put them on blast, but we're in this together. Again, I'm saying myself, over the last, actually since the beginning of January, just kind of finding out like struggles that we're all journeying together with, struggles that we're facing personally. And the biggest thing that I've seen come out in the conversation is, man, my quiet time is rough. I can do better. Now, some of those, they have a great quiet time and they just want to go more. And if you're unfamiliar with the term quiet time, that means like Jesus time, right? In the day. At some point in your day, you're sitting down and you're either praying, you're reading your Bible, both. Just time that you're not sharing with anybody else, but you're getting in time with the Lord. And so a lot of us in the room had said, I mean, I've got to grow in that. I do not give God enough time. And so tonight I was thinking about all that, and I was thinking about summer camp and how amazing it was. And then I was thinking about some of the stories that I've heard from students and even some of the volunteers, even since camp, of the struggle that they're having. And I have to ask us in the room, because I know it's foundational, it seems so cliche, but like, could we just ask ourselves, how am I doing? Like, how are me and Jesus really doing? I know earlier I posed the question, what characteristics would describe you? And a lot of those, you know, were negative. It's easier for us a lot of times to think of the negative. But think of even some of the things you're struggling with right now. Maybe it's something huge. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's something hidden. Maybe it's something that's very obvious to you and your family. But I would love to ask you personally, and ask myself the same question, are my frustrations greater than my faith? Are my problems larger than my prayer life? Because there's got to be some type of connection there. And I'm not saying if you get up every single day and you spend an hour with the Lord, all your problems are going to go away. No, but you will be able to handle them better. And on a personal level, you will be way more victorious in them. The frustrations, the distractions, the drama, the addiction, the anger, all of that may not even go away completely. But God promises to change our hearts. and how we walk through those things. And so even, I know earlier I mentioned the whole media and anxiety and depression. I'm not saying that all anxiety and depression comes from media, so please don't hear me saying that. But it's just interesting to me that we are in a time where everybody's pushing themselves to the limit, whether that's social media or just you're busy. Anybody busy? I am like busy, right? And so we often are not taking time to rest. We're not taking time. I know some of you are like, I'm 16 years old. I don't need to rest. I go to bed at 3 a.m. I get up at 7 and I go all day. Cool. It will catch up on you. Like, I promise you it will. Right? Right. Wait, who are my college students? And you're like, yeah, what worked in high school no longer works anymore. Right? Yeah, it only gets worse. Right? And so practice now what you want to be later. But I was thinking about the word be today. The word existence, and it actually is translated. If you look at the definition of be, it is to exist or live, to take place, to happen, to occupy a position or place. Some synonyms of be are to abide. And this isn't even like the biblical definition. This is like straight from dictionary.com. So synonyms of be are to abide, to breathe, to continue, to do, to endure, to hold, to live, to prevail, to rest, to stand, to stay. So the word be is used to indicate the identity of a person or a thing, and it's also used to describe the qualities of a person or the condition of something. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Being still is one of the hardest things to do. And we can hear that word still and think it means just like no movement at all, right? You're just physically still. I don't think that that's what God is asking, because then we wouldn't be going about our day, right? He's not saying, hey, just be still and don't ever move, barely breathe, just stand awkwardly quiet for the rest of your life. That's not really living. He's saying, be still. Exist in stillness. Be still. Take place in stillness. To allow stillness to be the place that you occupy. Be still. The word still means it's not just a ceasing of movement, although that's part of it. It's not just a ceasing of motion or sound. That's also can be part of it, but it's actually translated better to stop your fighting and know that I am God. What does the word know mean? Not N-O, but K-N-O-W. What's it mean? Understand. Give me another one. What? I don't know what you said. What? Awareness, right? Okay, John. To be conscious of. These are all very good. I'm not looking for a certain word. I just want to hear your description. What? Somebody else? Anybody else? Good. Okay. To know. To have knowledge of, right? To be aware of. To know that I am God. I think sometimes I need to be reminded when we're looking at the word still as stop your fighting, right? Silence the distractions, even the ones that I create, the good ones, the bad one. Stop your fighting. Silence those distractions. Silence the drama. Silence the discouragement. Silence the lies. Silence the worry. Silence the frustration. Silence the anger. Silence the addiction. Silence all of the things that really cause us to have a lot of motion. When you think about things like anxiety, right, or depression, there's still some type of motion going on there. When you think about things like anger and unforgiveness, there's some type of back and forth between two things that isn't peaceful. When you think of things like distractions or drama or all that, there's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of movement going on in that. Things like addiction, things like lust, all that stuff that we could name earlier, things like laziness. I know that seems like it's a lack of motion, but it's still some type of distraction. And I don't know about you, but just throwing this out there, when I'm super lazy and I know I'm just like abandoning responsibilities or I'm missing something, really my physical, and this is just off the top of my head. My physical body may be being really still, but my mind is going a million miles an hour, typically with a whole bunch of defeating thoughts that, man, did you really need to lay here 10 more minutes? Did you really not need to read your Bible? It's like I may be physically being still, but my mind is beating me up. And maybe you haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm just being real tonight. There's some type of motion always going on when it's something that God has not called us to. He says, be, let your existence be stillness. Stop your fighting. And sometimes I need to be reminded that I may not only be fighting the Lord's battle for him and trying to like fix things that he's going to bring a breakthrough in, but I really may be fighting against the Lord himself. I may be fighting against the work that he's trying to do in my life. When I'm not still and knowing that he's God, having trust that he is who he says he's going to be, and will do what he says he's going to do. We can't know God unless we get to know God. So even in that stillness, he's saying, when you just silence, when you just take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, let that grow in your life, that time with him, you will become more confident in who I've called you to be. You will be more confident in me and you'll begin to trust me. But you have to be still. I looked up the word be. I know I've said that like a million times. But I was thinking, how many times is this quoted? And I said it earlier that the word be is quoted over 7,000 times in the Bible. And you look at things where God said to be, because we hear that verse, be still and know that I'm God, right? If you look, I mean, I can't throw out all 7,000, that would take us all night. But a couple that came to my mind were the times that in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, it says before there was anything even going on, there was darkness across the world, right? There was nothing. God spoke and he said, let there be light. He spoke it into existence. He said in Joshua and in numerous other books of the Bible, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong. Exist in strength. Actually become that. Let that become your identity. Be not afraid. That was over 205 times. He says, do not be afraid. Be not afraid. In other words, fear is not supposed to be your identity. Fear is not supposed to be the place that you dwell. Fear is not supposed to be the shirt that you wear. Fear is not supposed to be the thing that plagues your mind. All the what ifs. Fear is not just boxed into being like shaking and you're nervous, although that's being fearful as well. Fearful is the what ifs. What if this happens? What if they're talking about me? What if I don't get in here? What if I never get better? What if this is the end for me? Be not afraid, he says. It says, be fruitful and multiply. And I think we use that verse and we think about just, you know, people having babies, right? But I don't think he would just say, I think he would have just said multiply. He actually said be fruitful in terms of let things come, produce things out of your life that feed other people. That you can embrace later on. Let him deposit some good stuff inside of you when you get to know him that will actually come into play and let you be courageous later on. Let you be confident later on. Let you be victorious later on. Says be fruitful, like he's telling you, be that, exist in that. And then in the New Testament in John it says, I am the door. If any person enters through me, he shall be saved. So salvation is something he wants us to embrace, obviously, but as well, peace be with you, peace be still. And as I was kind of throwing all this around earlier and thinking about our youth ministry, and you're probably like, PJ, where are you going? You're like all over the place tonight. I was just wondering how many of us have really been in the presence of God lately? How many people have really been reading their Bible? How many people have really been praying? And if you have, that's awesome. I'm not throwing stones tonight. I'm just trying to like clean up house a little bit. Because I'm not here, your leaders aren't here to just make you feel better. We're here to introduce you to the God of the universe, the one that can be all things to you, has everything for you, that wants to be victorious in your life. And I was thinking about, there's a quote, it's a famous quote, and it says that the church is not supposed to be a museum for the saints, but a hospital for the sinners. Right? The church is a hospital for the sinners, right? Not a museum for the saints. And the more I kind of broke that down, that's not a scripture verse, but it's something that talks about the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And when I was really thinking about what all hospitals, what type of people hospitals have in them, they most certainly have broken people, right? A lot of us, hospitals are not our favorite place to go. I know it's not mine. If you work in the medical field, that's your job, right? You go there to bring help. But if you think of a hospital, it certainly hosts sick people, right? People with diseases, people with brokenness or ailments, all of these different things. But a hospital also hosts a staff that's there to bring care. A hospital also staffs surgeons who are operating on people, trying to bring relief, right? Fixing an issue. A hospital hosts doctors who are practicing medicine. A hospital hosts visitors who are there supporting their friends and family. A hospital hosts people that are praying for breakthrough, right? A hospital has a myriad of people that are there. And I'm just wondering at what point we're going to decide to not be the sick people anymore, but be the ones that are helping the sick. Because at some point, we've got to grow. So at some point, we got to take the medicine, right? At some point, we have to follow doctor's orders. At some point, we have to go see the physician. At some point, we have to show up for our appointment. At some point, we have to take the medicine. At some point, we have to do whatever it takes to get back in the game and up off the bed. And I'm not here to say that, you know, we're all going to be perfect. All of us need hospitals spiritually. We all are sinners. We all are going to need some time in the bed. But at some point, it would be really cool to see the church being full of a staff of caring people for the sick, rather than us getting in and out of the bed ourselves. And hear me, I know I'm laying it down real heavy. Again, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, so please don't hear me saying that if that's what it sounds like. But too often than not, I keep in myself, I can't say that enough tonight, I keep facing the same cycles. Anybody tired of the cycles? You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired of saying I'm sorry for the same thing. Like, I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the temptation that's never going to go away, but I'm tired of falling to the temptation. I'm tired of the laziness. I'm tired of the anger. I'm tired of the unforgiveness. I'm tired of the cycle. I'm tired of responding to the same altar call, whether that's publicly or in my quiet time with the Lord, that I know I keep struggling with the same thing. And perhaps for my life, maybe I'm speaking to myself tonight. Maybe it's because I'm not following doctor's orders or showing up for my appointments. So in order for us to get better, obviously, A, we need Jesus. Like, that's bottom line. He's got everything for us. But we live in a fallen world. And we're going to continue to have temptations. We're going to continue to have struggles. But those struggles don't have to have us. We will continue to have struggles, but those struggles don't have to have such a grip on us that we feel no freedom. We have to be still. In order for us to know the promises of God, we have to get to know Jesus. We have to spend some time in the Word. We have to spend some time praying. We have to disconnect from online. We have to disconnect from going out sometimes. We have to disconnect from that friend group. We have to disconnect and get alone with God. You'd be surprised what 5 minutes in the presence of God can do for you. I was telling, I think it was Amanda earlier, it doesn't matter. It feels like sometimes as a pastor, like where Wednesday should be the time that we rally together, come together and celebrate what God's doing, and we learn and we grow. And of course, this should be a safe place for all of us. It's tough. High school is tough. Middle school is tough. Family is tough. The world is tough. So we're here. We exist because we want to rally together. We exist because we want to bring freedom. We exist because we want to deliver truth and introduce people to this amazing Jesus. But we ourselves have to keep introducing ourselves to this amazing Jesus. We ourselves have to keep introducing, and maybe you know God. What do I mean by that? That's a weird statement. I mean, I might know Jesus, but sometimes I have to introduce my depression to Jesus. I might know a Jesus from an experience that I had with him, but sometimes I need to introduce my insecurities to Jesus. Sometimes I need to introduce my apathetic nature to Jesus. Sometimes I have to introduce my anger to Jesus, my jealousy to Jesus, whatever it is. And so tonight, I'm just wondering where we all stand, because sometimes it feels like instead of coming together to rally and grow and just celebrate what God is doing and reach other people, a lot of times, if I'm being honest, I feel like we have to disarm each other. As soon as I get in here, it's like I have to pull away all the stuff that the world has introduced you to and you've introduced yourself to all week long. Did anyone else feel like that? Like you come to church and you're just like, man, I can't even move forward because I keep going backwards. We keep picking up the same stuff, the same gossip, the same anger, the same drama, the stress. And at some point we have to go, you know what, enough's enough. Like, I need to follow doctor's orders and I got to take my medicine through the word of God. Because a lot of times it feels like the church feels weak sometimes. And I know that's not what it's supposed to be. It's not. It's supposed to be a group of people who have experienced the presence of God, who have experienced the life change, encountered Jesus Christ in the truth of the cross, that it wasn't just him forgiving our sins, but it was him providing us life, abundant life. So that as we go out and face all the struggles, as we go out and face all the temptation, as we go out and face all the hurt and the devastation and the tragedy, that we're not doing it alone. But we've got to be with him. We have to silence the world long enough for us to hear him. And so tonight, we're going to go into our tea time. And we're just going to be real together. If you haven't been here for a tea time night, that is where somebody speaks like you just heard. And then we break up into smaller groups that we just talk about life. And tonight I did not give the tea time leaders a script to follow. The question that you're going to ask each other is, how often are you being still in the presence of God? A lot of times we go into tea time, we talk about our struggles and we pray together. Tonight, I don't want to magnify our struggles. I want us to have a sober understanding of the answer to our struggles and begin to really evaluate if we're putting in the work and the dedication and the commitment it takes to God, because he has everything that we need. Are y'all okay tonight? I know I'm speaking real heavy. You know I love you. You know I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I promise you I never preach anything that I'm not being challenged in myself. And so I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the same struggles. I'm ready for new victories. And in order to do that, I've got to spend some time with the Lord. More time. What worked for me yesterday or 2 years ago isn't working anymore. So whether this is just something that you're starting to discover, like, oh, I got to read my Bible outside of church. Yes, you do. That's awesome. You don't have to. You actually get to. I should say it that way. It brings life. And so I need to amp this up. If we're going to go anywhere, man, I'm looking at myself. Strength of the leader, strength of the team. So this is something we've got to really, really like cultivate more in our lives. So tonight, as we break up into tea time, and if you're not sure which tea time group to go into, you're going to see Desiree. But again, the question that we're asking, the conversation starter for tonight, is how often, realistically, think through your week, think through your day, how often are you really being still in the presence of God? That you're really being still, reading your Bible, silencing all the other distractions. How often are you personally doing that? Because that may help you really begin to see some victory when you amp that up in your life. Actually, I know it will. So tonight,
That's the question. How often are you personally being still? And you can even tag, what are we going to do to change that? Like, what's the goal this week? Is it start 5 minutes every day and that's all you got and you can start with that? That's cool. If you're spending zero time with Jesus, I would challenge you, give him five. Just 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer, and then see how your day goes. If you're giving him 30 minutes, cool, amp it up like a few minutes if you can. So everyone has a question. See Desiree if you don't know where you're going, and then go on and split up into tea time.